Each created creation is a creational natural reason. Each human being is a creational reason, namely, in a twofold sense. On the one hand, he or she is creative and creational through his or her thoughts and feelings, through his or her ideas, deeds and actions, out of which he or she is able to create that which is progressive and very valuable. On the other hand, he or she is a reason, who at one time emerged from amino acids as a unicellular form, and later, from life forms which further developed from them, ultimately, as a human being. As such, the human being further reproduced independently since that time and has become Homo sapiens, an independent and rational human being. However, the fundamental origin of the human existence is founded in the creational natural laws of the spiritual energy creation universal consciousness, through which, through the coming about of spiritual energetic impulses, all universally existing principles arose and became effective. These creational natural laws are infinite in number and encompass anything and everything which exists in coarse material and fine fluidal form, so therefore the coarsest matter, and also the finest spiritual formed energy, and its powers, which are still mostly unknown to the human being. So, there exist for him her many unknown creational natural laws and recommendations, and the energies and powers arising from them in nature, and in the entire universe, which he or she does not understand, but which he or she can learn to understand. If he or she integrates himself, herself into them completely and wholeheartedly, and commits himself, herself to them. Therefore, if the human being consciously makes an effort to perceive these laws and recommendations, to recognize them and to accept them, then on the one hand, they lead him or her to himself, herself, to his or her true inner nature, and on the other hand, in a consciousness-based form. They reveal to him her many forms which are unknown to him or her. However, all of them are such that he or she does not expect them, and he or she does not see them with his or her visual perceiving eyes and simply cannot understand them with his or her intellect, thus he or she has to learn the understanding and connect it with his or her rationality. In order to comprehend what greatness is hidden in all the creational natural laws and recommendations, which show the way to everything and give everything the appropriate correct state. The human being and all created creations in the vastness of the universe are creational natural reason, and as such created from the principles of the spiritual energetic creation universal consciousness. Everything exists as a consequence of it, the entire existence and also all life, whereby there is no hierarchy for the value of life, because all life is assigned and given the same value as well as its determined usefulness, correct state and duty. So one life is not more valuable than another, although one may serve as help or nourishment for the other, as it is given in relation to plants, animals and other creatures, whereon the human being also lives, entirely according to the creational natural guidelines of his or her nourishment. So, for each human being and for every other life form, be it plants, animals or other creatures, there is its assigned place in its existence and life. However, if the human being is viewed and considered from this point of view, then he or she is a higher and special reason with conscious intellect and conscious rationality, and thereby a very important piece in the fabric of existence, as well as in his or her own life. As such, howsoever he or she may natured according to his or her race, with his or her rationality, and with his intellect, he or she stands above all plants, the animals and the other creatures, which also are given as nourishment for him or her. Whereby, however, he or she excludes himself, herself from it using intellect and rationality, because usually like and like mutually do not serve as nourishment. Like each created creation in the entire universe, each reason is a piece in the fabric of existence and of life, and no life form which lives is expendable, because once it is placed into existence and into life, then it also has its right to live and also to do its duty and to live. This means that all living life forms brought into life at some point have their value and are important, because they are a valuable piece in the fabric of existence and of life, and because this fabric itself is a part of each created creation. Therefore, once a life is born, be it begotten in rationality or irrationality, it stands in life and also has its right to live, as well as its duty in life, just as it corresponds to its life's duty of perceiving and fulfilling the creational natural laws and recommendations in existence. In addition, this duty of fulfillment is also based in keeping one's own genus in a planetary equitable framework and neither overbreeding nor overpopulating it. SSSC, 2. March 2013, 1.04H Billy. Getting system and correct state into everyday life. Years ago, I read the transcript of a lecture by Elizabeth Grubber, entitled System und Ordnung, System and Correct State 1, which she gave in the early 90s, and which can be found in the figure booklet Über Denkenswert-Vortrage Lectures Worthwhile Considering. And I remember that I was trying to get a bit more system and correct state into my life after reading it, but after a while I forgot to apply it and fell back into some old disorganized habits. My excuse used to be the shift work, but I got out of it 6 years ago. Then my excuses were working irregular days, having a family, a big garden, etc. But recently it occurred to me that falling back into old habits could be the cause for things not going as expected, and that I need to get my act together and stop making excuses if I want to succeed. Therefore, I dug up the old lecture and studied it again, and because it makes so much sense to me, I would like to share it with you. System and Correct State. Lecture by Elizabeth Grubber, Austria, on the 8th of May, 1993. Frequently one searches for the reasons for failures and such like in the wrong place, or one questions one's own abilities. In very many cases, however, it is first and foremost a lack of system and correct state, which is responsible for one not getting a grip on many things in life in a way that would be desirable and would lead to a zeal too. Now the fundamental question is, what exactly is to be understood by a system and correct state, and which factors are included therein? System and correct state is a cosmic fundamental law. We can recognize it through observing nature. Nature shows us quite plainly a total integration into this principle. This universal law can be seen in the smallest building blocks of life known to us, the atoms, and likewise in the macrocosm. For us human beings, who are integrated into a conscious self-evolution according to the creational determination, it is therefore of decisive significance to recognize and use system and correct state as one of the most important fundamental principles for a progressive and successful forming process of our existence in the evolutive sense. Adding to that, I would like to quote an excerpt from the spiritual teaching by Billy: the entire universe is upheld solely by means of the law system and correct state. In this law of system and correct state, the absolute, universal love is anchored, which must be worked for by every life form. If the human being wants to be healthy, happy and successful in his, her material life, then in every form he, she has to align his, her daily life precisely according to the same law of system and correct state, and follow it. Now, what is required of us in the material realm of life through the learning of system and correct state? For this law to become effective in daily life, many factors play a decisive, to which I count, among others, the learning and keeping of reliability, conscientiousness, punctuality, exactness, accuracy, exactness, discipline, correctness, being aware, conscious of one's obligations and orderliness. Likewise, I count among them learning to set up a precise work plan and arrangement, because all projects are carried out more efficiently when preceded by thorough planning. An example for that are human beings who hold a very large area of responsibility, because they accomplish their enormous workload only by keeping system and correct state most precisely. However, what sounds obvious, quite plausible and logical when put into practice, proves to be a very tough nut to crack, which has to be mastered. On one hand, there are the influences from our environment that constantly rain down on us and lead us to distractions or bring problems and difficulties that make it very difficult to hold on to planned projects. On the other hand, there are antagonistic mites in us, which cause our laboriously built-up discipline and consistency to sway again and again. In that case, our conscience sometimes proves to be a rather unpleasant but helpful admonisher for pursuing our chosen way with even more effort. Frequently, there are also purposelessness, lack of plan, indolence, untidiness, unpunctuality, and still many more other unpleasant habits that we have to resolve if happiness, satisfaction, and success are to ensue in daily life. But if we seriously and carefully study system and correct state, then pretty soon in our inner nature a natural resistance stirs against everything which runs counter to this striving in us, and so the aversion to half measure, purposelessness, lack of planning and such like grows in us to such an extent that we make an effort to steer our daily life onto regulated tracks. Therethrough also the cognition becomes certainty that only through the acquisition of system and correct state are we in a position of satisfying the requirements of our material existence. By learning about this natural law, we acquire many positive characteristics, for example, conscientiousness and reliability, wherethrough we gain the trust of our fellow human beings. From that it also becomes evident that the use of system and correct state in everyday life exerts a significant positive influence on the forming process of the psyche, the equalizedness of which is the fundamental precondition for the learning of spiritual evolutive concerns. Furthermore, by means of a controlled daily routine, we create the necessary free space, quietude and distance from daily happenings, by means of which, likewise, a very important requirement for the studying of the spiritual teaching and for the meditation is fulfilled. This is because especially with the learning and using of spiritual evolutive abilities, it is of decisive significance that from the very beginning we concern ourselves with system and correct state so that we can achieve valueful cognitions and successes. Whether it is with the study of the spiritual teaching, with the learning of the meditation, or any other spiritual and consciousness-based abilities, very soon we reach the point where it shows whether we have understood the sense and significance of this law. First and foremost, any prospect of success and all progress depends on the consistency, discipline, overcoming oneself, being tough with oneself and such like, which we summon up for setting our spiritual zeal. Included with that, among other things, is a firm plan of study that is consistently and unfailingly adhered to, the regular practice of the meditations, as well as practicing what is learnt in everyday life. If we lack the cognition of the enormous importance of system and correct state, and its unavoidable learning and usage, then we are also not capable of developing the power that enables us to pursue the spiritual evolutive way with the necessary prospect of success. On one hand, we need this power to stop the already mentioned influences of all kinds that constantly come to us from our environment, and on the other hand, to be able to resist those likewise mentioned antagonistic mites in ourselves. To be able to follow the call of our determination as a human being in the necessary measure, we have to fight a tough battle, especially in today's problem-laden world, which, however, is worthwhile in any case in order to achieve inner peace, happiness and satisfaction thereby. If we look out to the immeasurable universe, to the stars that orbit in eternal, incontrovertible regulation, or if we gain an insight into the happenings of nature here on Earth by researching the life conditions and the behavior in the kingdoms of flora and fauna, then this basic principle of all existence in the universe becomes obvious. Thus, it is also anchored in the creational laws and recommendations that we human beings, as part of the universal life, recognize system and correct state in the endless cosmic happenings as an all-timely visible, comprehensible, and usable aid for our evolution. In conclusion to my thoughts about system and correct state in daily life, I would like to add the following. All functioning correct states in the community of humankind require the integration of each individual human being into the principle of system and correct state. Therefore, for the general welfare of all human beings, laws, measures, and rules are to be enacted according to these principles and laws of nature, in order to nip in the bud any form of Orsatungan 3. Only in that way can a peaceful, correct state of the world be created and maintained. Only therethrough is it also possible that all human beings receive the opportunity for a human-worthy life with all requirements for the evolutive forming process. One of the hardest things for me would be setting up a precise work plan, an arrangement, and sticking with it. Those distractions from my environment and the antagonistic mites in me sometimes seem insurmountable. And my workload seems so big that quite often I don't know where to begin. And then I remind myself to put one foot in front of the other and to keep walking. So, if I began, again, with one regular thing, e.g. meditation at 9:30 p.m., because the time between 8 and 10 p.m. is supposed to be the best time for meditation, and practice this for a month, I would give my consciousness the opportunity to get into the groove, and once that is done, it will help to tackle the next thing. But, hang on a minute, there's family gathering coming up, and we will have the house full of people staying for at least one night. How can I retreat at the regular time and find the required peace and calm to meditate? Okay, another resolution. But this time I will really have a go at getting system and correct state into my life, because I do understand the need and importance of it. I'm just a little slow with putting it into practice. The following excerpt from the book The Way to Live, number 384, shows the battle all of us have to fight. The material consciousness is also comparable with a battlefield on which strong and diverse thoughts do battle, which can only be won when the thoughts are arranged, put in correct state, and are deployed in a logical form. However, in order to create a correct state on the material consciousness's battlefield of the thoughts, it is necessary that a protected atmosphere is created in it, which can solely be achieved through a purpose-directed meditation. Wiebke Walder. Respecting the Nature of Reality on the Mushroom Farm. 147. Consider that if you conduct yourselves arrogantly, vainly, against the truth of the laws and recommendations of the wellspring of the love of creation, and if you are against all right and against the accountability, then although you can see the signs, evidence, of the wellspring of the love of creation in its appearance in nature and all around in the firmaments, universe, and on the earth's worlds of planets, as well as in the lights of the firmament, celestial bodies of comets, and in all kinds of life, life forms, in people of your kind, human beings, and in everything that crawls and flies, you nevertheless cannot recognize, see, the signs, evidence, as such, and neither can you understand them, because you do not live according to the truth, and you do not know it either. And if you are shown the way of the truth and also see the way of fairness, a responsibility, and of accountability, then you do not want to accept it or to walk upon it, but continue along the way of erroneous assumption which you have made your own, because you treat the signs, evidence, of the wellspring of the love of creation, as a lie and do not heed them. 148. And those amongst you who do not heed the signs, evidence, of the wellspring of the love of creation, and do not heed the truth, your deeds are arrogant and vain, and are not steadfast, and therefore you cannot be rewarded for goodness. But instead you can only receive a poor reward for what you do that is lacking goodness. Goblet of the Truth, Chapter 7. We might think such lines from the book, Goblet of the Truth, apply only to other people. After all, we are engaged in studying the teaching of the truth. We know better, don't we? Well, in some ways I know I certainly don't. If I examine my own behavior, I am struck by the stubborn persistence I show in not respecting the nature of reality, and therefore not following its guidance. As we study the spiritual teaching, the teaching of life, the teaching of the truth, we repeatedly read how we need to align ourselves with the creational natural laws. We are reminded to study nature, as part of the way to learn what they are. And our daily experience of life is where we do our learning. This spring, setting up a little mushroom farm has given me a perfect opportunity to have just those specific experiences. I look back at my almost 50 years of life so far and see someone who, while very productive in many ways, just has not accepted and respected the true nature and needs of the human being in line with the creational natural laws, that is, the different absolutely necessary processes and phases that make up the evolutionary development. So, that means not only development and productivity, but periods of rest and reflection and time for mistakes and course corrections. As a teenager, I allowed myself to get driven by the common idea that more and more work, and more productivity was more and more good. I have not been accepting of the need for regeneration and similar things, at least not to the point of it being much more than seeming a good idea. And along with that, I have not been accepting of the value and logical necessity of reasonable mistakes and the naturalness of setbacks, those things that occur to show you where you are still wrong in your appraisal of a situation. I have not been accepting of the role of this neutral, negative in our lives as being just a part of the natural negative-positive balance journey which shows us where we took a wrong turn. Instead, despite turning away from religion, I have seemingly subconsciously held onto the irrational idea that such negatives are a result of a lack of faith in God. Also, in my delusions about what should be possible, I have childishly rebelled against the need for phases of development which do not immediately bear fruit. Again, the imaginary God is supposed to make miracles happen for us if only we are faithful. A tree has those phases, but somehow I think I should not have to have them. I know I am not alone in these wrong ideas, although, drenched in religious training as a child, I have perhaps excelled at them. Having just reread this explanation of mine, I marvel at how irrational I have been and the fact that I never had a nervous breakdown or something similar. And it is absolutely no surprise that I have struggled with a sleep disorder. No wonder we are plagued by so much stress and unhappiness, all because we never learnt to respect the truth of reality and how it really works, but instead just accepted a set of behavioral rules which were based on a delusion about what we actually are. And what we are is a creation of creation that must abide by creational law. So it is also no surprise that the road I have taken on the way to forming a better me, and I have to laugh at myself, is still characterized by way too much work. My ingrained response at, say, 11 o'clock at night the night before a busy market day to being faced with a room full of sterilized sawdust bags that need mushroom spawn mixed through them carefully, thoroughly, one at a time, without delay. In a room that needed to be meticulously cleaned for the umpteenth time, is, why should all this be necessary? I childishly and illogically tell myself I should somehow not have to do all this, and that I should somehow be able to skip some part of this process, or at least put it off. I fall into that deeply ingrained arrogance, bred up by religious belief, that if I am good, these difficulties should somehow fall away. That is, before I catch myself and remind myself to simply pay attention, in the way concentration meditation practice teaches, allowing myself to remember that what actually counts is reality, and I need to conform to it. So, having pulled myself up, I instead begin the definitely constructive and satisfying experience of respecting the nature of reality. This respecting the nature of reality is really what the spiritual teaching is all about. It is such a simple idea, although we find it so alien, and only needs to be put into practice in a logically conscientious form, which adheres to system and right state, the term Figur now uses to better express the German word Ordnung, which we are told is wrongly expressed with the word order. So, having chosen a money-earning project for myself, which contains many tedious hours of process work, I have the perfect opportunity to retrain myself in this respecting of reality. What happens? Once I get onto the right track, it's always reliably the same. After I concentrate for a little while, the impatience falls away, along with the petulance. I feel pleasure as a result of meditating on the mushroom organism itself and its nature, and thus its needs, respecting it. A feeling of wonder arises to accompany the newfound respect. The arrogance subsides to make way for attentive nurturing and, dare I say, love. All this is accompanied by a feeling of peace and contentment and deep satisfaction. Then my rational consciousness and intellect tells me, of course, all these processes are absolutely necessary. Only irrationality led you to wish it was otherwise. And you can improve your methods carefully and respectfully and make beautiful mushrooms. Enjoy. Then, because such a healthy mind space generates further creative positive thoughts, now, make sure you look after yourself too with the same attentive thoroughness. That's about the point where I start to fall back into my old bad habits, having set myself the usual madly ambitious project that I cannot immediately interrupt for nurturing self-care, like going to bed. Even the mushroom organism has a rest and recuperation phase. To think of the natural creational processes of life as difficulties that we should be able to just override or ignore or have taken away from us by God is exactly what we have done here on earth in our inability to respect the nature of reality, and it has resulted in the profound increasing destruction of the very environment on which we depend. For example, the thinking that we should just be able to limitlessly boost the fertility of our soils without respecting the need for their existing natural balance and need for restoration, thus actually eventually creating infertility. That we should just be able to breed up limitlessly without any thought to the planet's ability to sustain us is the most glaring example. This is the arrogance spoken about in the spiritual teaching, whereby we think we can live independently of the creational processes which form our very being. It is only when we actually engage in the practice of observing and having cognitions about the actual, true reality of our world and ourselves that we can start to recognize the benefits of it and the insanity and irrationality of doing otherwise. And so I will press on with my consciousness retraining program on my little mushroom farm. And eventually the fruits of my labor will be more than excellent mushrooms. They will also include a consciousness and world of thoughts that conforms and wants to conform to creational reality, a consciousness that, along with allowing for proper care of the mushroom organism, allows for the natural restoration of the human organism. Vivienne Legge.